Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiodini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. First things first, last week on the show, we had Michelle Miller, a.k.a. The Farm Babe. Where we got to, we got into some very zesty convo about misleading labels. Too GMO or not too GMO? That is the question. Go back and listen. Our guest this week is Tampa local chef Rosanna Rivera. From entrepreneur to restaurateur, she's done it all. Plus, Chef Rosanna has been featured in dozens of magazines and articles, not to mention the granddaddy of them all. Meeting Bobby Flay and her husband, by the way, on national TV. Stay tuned. Chef Rivera is on deck. Jefferson, we are deeply embedded in this social media rat race. We're putting in the hard work and, we're trying to claw our way up. Today, we're going to get into how something like winning a TV show competition, a national one, can help improve your visibility and ultimately your business. By the way, we've been using our Metro mobile prep cart, and it is badass. We have video coming out today. Chefs, if you're planning on reorganizing your kitchen, be sure to contact our friends at Metro, your partner in organization and efficiency. Jeff, pop the clutch, baby. Pre-shift. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Father's Day coming up, so I wanted to do something, pay homage to being outdoors. It's nice and a lot more warmer in Florida, but other places around the country, they're defrosting over the spring and all that, so that's the time to start grilling. So I did a riff on a coq au vin. Coq au vin is very traditional, like a stewed or braised chicken dish, and it goes right from the get-go, but I actually smoked the chicken first, then added in the bacon, onions, wine, and then braised the chicken that way. We have that being served with a little bit of potato puree. A little bit of contrast in that as well. And let me just tell you, John and Rack Porcelain Dishes, they just did a phenomenal job with that today. And then we have the 2-pound ribeye. That's right, 2-pound ribeye. And then I encrusted that with Sweetwater coffee and let it sit there for at least a day just to get real nice and gel together as far as the meat was concerned. What happens when you do that in your refrigeration? It's a dehydrator, so it actually dehydrates, causes that bark to get crispy and crunchy on there. So it penetrates the meat, so it's absolutely just full flavored of coffee, especially coming from Sweetwater coffee. Larry does a great job over there with his roasting abilities. And then we serve that with bone marrow butter compound with a pecan.
Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, that was a little bit bone marrow. Yeah, take some butter, get it to room temperature, had some macadamia nuts, added those pecans, a little brie, and then put it all together on top and let it crust over about 400 degrees to get that really nice flavor profile. And then we served that just on its plate, on its own, sliced up some, and then used a red wine reduction, and then just hit a little bit of that au jus in there too as well. And it was pretty stellar, actually.
I can't wait to eat. You know, we're
I doing love how these, today happened.
Yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, so the audience doesn't know, or maybe some of them do, but typically we cook first and then podcast. And I don't know, a few months ago we started kind of, you know, experimenting with this podcast first, cook after. And it's not bad. You know, I like it. But I tell you what, you know, as we're sitting here doing the show, and, you know, my stomach is like saying, hey, what's going on? Like, what are we doing here? You know,
not John. John ate.
Yeah, well, you know what? Good for you guys.
I noticed that John did. I picked.
Do people understand what I have to go through with you two? I don't think they do.
Oh, no, they do. They completely understand. They see the behind the scenes.
Do they really? No, they don't. They don't see the real. You know, what we need to do is, like, put some real live cameras 100% of the time, and then they're going to know. Then they're going to know.
They're going to see that John works his butt off.
All right, so this 2-pound, like, piece of meat.
That was ridiculous.
I know. It looks...
it's obscene.
It's sitting... It's right there. It's like a few arm lengths away, and I'm fixing to just, like, hang up the headphones and just get out of here.
I hear you. And then you can't forget about the T-bone.
No, you can never forget about the T-bone.
And the T-bone has papaya in there, and then lychees are in season.
So talk about the lychees. Those are like, so for the foodies, right? They look like marbles.
Yeah.
Right? Little pearl marbles.
They're also known as dragon's eyes because of the way when you bite into it, it has the pit in the middle of it, like a stone fruit.
Where's it come from?
Lychees, it's indigenous here in Florida. It's subtropical, but it's known lychee to being light. Yeah. Leech, the nut.
Yeah.
So it's from the lychee tree.
Right.
And it's got a real good texture. When they're ripe, they have a real sweet texture. But if they're not, they have a little bit of sourness to them. And so I got lychee poppers, which is like the caviar. And you put it with the papaya that I made with the salsa.
Growing up in South Florida, you know Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Richard, you know, he and I have been friends since like 1983. And, you know, his family's, he's Japanese. They had a lychee tree, and it was humongous. And, you know, we would be off weekend or whatever. We would climb the tree, sit in the tree, and just crack lychee nuts and eat lychee nuts right fresh from the tree. And, wow, that was just an amazing, you know. And this is like a, you know, pretty rural area.
Well, 83, yeah, there was probably nothing.
Yeah, it was just the orange groves and the dairy farms and stuff like that out there, cattle ranch, all that. And so that was just that kind of living. It was really great. Really great. That's my experience with, you know, my fond memories of lychee nuts.
You know, the funny thing is when I looked to see and try to like compare what in June, what was not only the holiday coming up, but what was in season in Florida, lychee, papaya, they all popped up. And I'm like, I've never done lychee in a steak or on a steak. I've never done papaya, even though papaya is known as for a meat tenderizer. It'd be beautiful. So I just put the two together and let me see what it's going to be like. And it actually works really well.
That wasn't the salsa, was it?
Yeah, the papaya salsa.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Oh my God. The onions came from my garden because the onions are now finally there.
Your secret garden.
Yeah. The garden's also going to have this month, garlic. June, I'll have garlic coming in. I had tomatoes, so I threw that up. My neighbor has the papayas, so put it all together. Boom. Well,
as usual, foodie people, photos are coming. You know, John, of course. You know what to expect. Beautiful stuff. today, it's a little bit of a treat, right? And I'm going to bring Chef Rosanna on here in a second, but you know, she's cooking too. And you know, so it's not going to be just Jefferson's food today. It's extra. And I think
I'm happy.
I think that's fantastic.
Especially, well, because I heard empanadas.
Yeah, man. Well, these are the Bobby Flay empanadas. Okay, these are the ones that beat that dude. Okay, right. So,
yeah. Look at that. Thank God, there's a camera right on her right now because she's got a smile like a little kid.
So do I. All right, Chef Rosanna, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm here giggling.
We do that. You know, like I said before, remember all of the pre-stuff that you saw leading up to this, it's to get you in the right frame of mind. That's what we do.
I can see it now. Yeah,
that's what we do.
I love it.
It's our shtick.
This is the green room prep.
That's green room prep. Exactly. We get you ready for the shenanigans that go on in this show. Let's take a second, if you could. How about an airplane view of who you are and where you come from and how did you make it here? Like, how did you get here today? You know what I mean?
The car right there.
So I'll take you on a very quick journey, you know, starting, I'm born and raised in Puerto Rico from the countryside. So that's on the southwestern side of the island, very small town. Grew up in a background where food is essential in life and the center of our home, and surrounded by all sorts of trees, of everything that you get in the island. I come from a family of farmers. I moved to the States around 2001 to New York. That's where I started my career in hospitality, not being a chef yet. And that was rough, you know, just the culture change for me of coming from a small town to now being in the biggest city in the world. And with the same company, I asked for a transfer to Miami. So that's what really brings me to Florida. And I worked in corporate world for about 8 years while I was here. And I had just something inside. Food was my calling and not something I ever took seriously. So I kept gravitating towards it until one day I said, okay, enough. I'm going to see where this takes me. And started doing private chef for families. And little by little started growing the business. And that's when I enrolled in culinary school, put myself through culinary school, and started officially incorporated my first business 18 years ago this month. So started that journey of being an entrepreneur and, you know, cooking for other people and defining what that business was like. Around 2012, I met my other half, whom you have already met, and we opened our first restaurant together. These two young entrepreneurs just going at it through life, and we opened a French restaurant and patisserie. We were very successful at it. It brought us a lot of notoriety here in Tampa. And
Picante, right?
But yeah, it was called Picante in Hyde Park Village. Mm-hmm. And when that chapter closed, we moved to our second restaurant, which was inside of a food hall called Silo Mexican. And that's when we received the call for Bobby Flay. And that was in 2019. So we went through the show. This, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about it later, but it's not something you can reveal until they tell you that you can. And that happened in December of 2019. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more in detail later. It exploded, but, you know, 3 months later, the whole world shut down. And with that, our restaurant shut down and we changed formats. So that brings me to today, 4 years post-pandemic. We have two businesses. One of them is Chef Rosanna. What came out of the show and pandemic was becoming my own brand. And with that, I do luxury catering and events. And along with Chef Ricardo, then I have a Chef and the Baker, which is more your daily sustenance, you know, savory foods and a lot of bakery.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
So when you said that you came to Miami in a corporate capacity, what were you doing then?
I was in sales and marketing, you know, I am creating conventions and hospitality and events for trade shows, essentially. So handling that part of being in a trade show, and it could be XYZ, you know, sometimes it was a luxury jewelry trade show, but sometimes it was something else. So it was managing and putting together all the hospitality component of it. And I used to travel to Latin America a lot with the same purpose, putting together conventions.
So that's interesting. You were inadvertently in the business already, or connected to the business very
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then the desire from within, you know, and that's from family and heritage and everything kind of drove you into the realm of, hey, I want to go to culinary school.
Definitely. You know, in Puerto Rico, we hustle, you know, growing up in an island, you have your career, but it's very acceptable that you have a side job. I think, you know, Florida has something similar with the cottage law, but over there it's, you can just open anything. So growing up, my mom and I used to cater. And the things that people don't cook at their house.
It can't all just be mofongo.
No. Everybody can make their mofongo. So we would specialize on the things that people didn't make. And honestly, a lot of French items, believe it or not. So a lot of appetizers, different things that people wouldn't necessarily make at home. Anybody makes arroz con gandules or lechon. So it wasn't that. It was what was different. What you couldn't get in the island, essentially. But that was very easy to do there without being formal, without going to a culinary school or opening a formal business. In here, it's a different story. So that I wanted that formality, you know, I wanted that education and confidence. And that's what led me to, if I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, I want to do it well.
How did the Food Network know about you? Like, how did you get that call? Like, is that something where you submitted and then they found you, or how did that?
So you can apply to the show. And I think now with social media, it's a little bit easier to find on these shows who's the casting agent. I want to say a few years ago, maybe it was a little bit more obscure unless you're subscribed to getting newsletters from a casting agency. And if we have anybody listening and you want to go into a show, that's a great way. Just search for your favorite shows, who the agent is. And normally on their website, you can apply if it's the season, if the season is open. But in our case, we got an email and I thought it was a joke, a scam. So I left it in my inbox for about a week until one night I said, let me Google and see who this person is. And she popped up on LinkedIn and I said, okay, this is the agency. Then you look up who this agency is. And then I realized, oh, wait, they cast all of Bobby Flay shows. So this is not a scam. And I responded to that email.
Did you immediately start sweating?
I did. Ricardo, no. You know, he's a ham. But I get anxiety when I'm in that, you know, spotlights on me.
Well, I was speaking with Ricardo for maybe 15 minutes, and he's the most laid back, cool cat I think I've ever met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is zero ego, but he's very confident in that realm of TV. So it was good to have him, you know, to boost my confidence in that, because it's you're out of your element. You know, as chefs, we're used to hiding in the kitchen. That's our safe space. And all of a sudden, you're thrown into the spotlight, cameras on you. It's not as easy.
Yeah, and how this all works, right? I mean, first of all, on that show, you nationally got to beat Bobby Flay, but I think more importantly, you got to beat Hubby.
Yes.
Right. I for me, I think that's because if I were in a situation like that, and it was me and my wife, and I got to beat my wife like that, and I think I would walk around a mile high every day. I don't know. It's gotta be almost better than beating Bobby, right?
No, nothing beats Bobby. Okay. Beating Bobby.
All right.
But I think, you know, Ricardo and I are definitely partners in life and in business. So when we didn't necessarily both apply at the same time. I think at that point in time, they were probably looking for a female and my name came up, you know, having some recognition in our area. So when I finally answered the casting agent and she listened to our story, you know, they don't assume that you own your business or that you're the main chef. So that you go through all these questions. And when they hear the story, no, I own a business with my husband and he happens to be a chef. Something clicked on their side, you know, would he be willing? And I'm like, of course he would be willing, you know, to be.
I get that from him too.
Yeah.
Well, 100%. To be on the show.
And I get like, if I were the agent and I'm looking at the paper and I'm like, oh man, my gears are already spinning. Like, this is great TV. Mm-hmm. You know, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they crafted this episode and you don't know if it's, you know, until you know that it's going to happen that way. But what they presented to the producer of the episode and then eventually to the network is we have this couple out of Tampa. They cook together. They have a business together and they're competing. So they created, if you look up the show, it's a couple's episode. So at first I thought this is going to air in Valentine's probably. And it didn't, and ended up airing in Christmas during the holiday. And then they brought in another couple to be the host, you know, going challenging Bobby, which is Ali Tila and Jet Tila. And they're amazing. Another, you know, great couple story. So they made everything about the episode to be very inclusive, to be very much about our heritage, both being from Puerto Rico. So it was just a lovely, honestly, just a lovely experience.
Okay. So you do the show, you win. And granted, it was, you know, ground zero for COVID and the whole thing. It still changed your life.
It did, absolutely. And I want to say these shows give you a platform to jumpstart your career, maybe get ahead, but you have to make the most out of it. And I have made the most out of being on the show and everything that comes with it. You know, it's a marketing power, Bobby Flay. And, they do a great job at giving you that platform. You know, he presents the show as a show from a chef for chefs, and that is very real. But when you come back from it, you do have some time to prepare. And you know, Ricardo and I sat down and we made our own personal financial investment in promoting it, in doing hiring a PR agency, into drafting press releases, you know, the things that you do for your own business. So we really wanted to take the opportunity that was given to us and make the most out of it.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. And I think that's where things get super interesting. Obviously, you know, we're a food media company, and we're not that social media is our driver. You know, our content for Apple and Spotify, and you know, that's our driver. But of course, we have to play in the social media, you know, sandbox. And the work that's involved in promoting yourself on social media in order to get just a little bit extra, you know, eyeballs on what you're doing, it's an incredible amount of work. And being in the, so let me just stop for a second. I got a call or a text earlier that said, hey, we're running late today because we had a cooler go down, an AC unit went down, and you know, hey, hashtag, you know, chef life. And I'm like, I totally get it. You know, like, totally understand. And then you show up here, not even breaking a sweat. It's so, I mean, this is what we do. So the life in the kitchen, incredibly difficult. A restaurateur life, Jeff, you know, almost impossible. And now you guys, how you really went into overdrive on your social media life because we had never met, but I remember seeing you back then, you know, when you beat Bobby, and then seeing you on LinkedIn and seeing you all over the place, you know, I beat Bobby. And I was like, wow, that's pretty badass.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, it's been a 4-year journey. You know, just to give our listeners a little bit perspective, I think before I went on the show, I had probably in the range of 1,800 followers. And my biggest platform is Instagram. Now, 4 years later, almost five, I think I'm about to hit 40,000. So it does give you the platform, but I normally I'm an introvert and I'm very shy. So putting the tag there, these were all recommendations from the investment that we made. It's like, you have to be, you're your only loudspeaker. Nobody's going to be that loudspeaker for you. And I went through about a 3-month period where like my life is going to be out there, you know, making my own Instagram page. Before then, it used to be private. You had to request me. So, you know, that those changes do come with it, and you have to be willing and put your best foot forward every day and experiment with different things.
Is it worth it?
It is, absolutely.
Well, you know, she's got a brand, that's why. So
she created the brand was almost formed out of social media and network TV, right?
Well, it came from before that, though, because she had already realized it and they were planning on it. But she's a smart restaurateur. When I did consulting from my previous employer, and still to this day, you always hear what's the first thing that owners get rid of. I'm not making money. They get rid of marketing. It's the first one. And that's the dumbest, stupidest move, because when you get rid of marketing, how are you going to have people in your seats? Because the most expensive seat in your entire restaurant is the empty one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's free advice, by the way.
Very good advice. Yeah.
There's and a this general is not short-sightedness.
did you just see the hand, little golf clap from Silent John?
Well, there's a general short-sightedness from companies at large. When that, like, I've seen companies cut their marketing department, their sales department. Like, what are you doing? That's what gets you out there. Mm-hmm. In today's world, everything is a video. Everything is a post. Yeah. And if you're not, or a story or something, and if you're not doing that, you're behind everybody else who is. And I don't care what your sales team look like, you know, physical sales team looks like. You can do a lot. Obviously, you're still knocking on doors and you're still getting in front of your client. But the reality is, all of the social media is working when you're not, and you need it to happen.
And what does it cost you?
I agree with, and I want to make people think, oh, you have to hire somebody that you invest, you know, in order to do that. We hired someone for the period of time that we were going to launch and you know, spread the news that we had been on the show and eventually that we won. You know, I still manage all my social media myself. I do have someone that helps me, you know, creating videos, the things that take time that I don't have the time to do. But for years, it was just me creating the content. Ricardo does the same thing. He creates his own content too. It's about being authentic. I read a lot, you know, because the trends in social media change so quickly. So I'm always immersed in, you know, whether it's a newsletter that I'm subscribed to and I receive on a daily basis to read on what can you do, you know, trends and topics that have to do with marketing and social media. Because I'm a chef, I'm not a marketer. Now, I wouldn't consider myself an influencer. That's a full-time job. I don't have the time to put myself out there and create amazing content to become an influencer. At the end of the day, I'm a chef and I run a business. So I always experiment with what information I put out there on social media. That's time. We can afford the time.
I think that's the number one thing with chefs is it's the time factor.
Yeah.
It's how much time do I have to do this? But they also think they don't have the time to do it when they have every one of their employees is on the line looking at their phone. Might as well take the phone out and take a video.
Yeah. And that's something that, for example, that's something that we have done. If you're going to use your phone and take video, post it, tag us. Right. You know, become a part of our own community. Like they post on Chef and tag Chef and the Baker or tag me. And then I choose, do I want this content that an employee posted? And more than likely, you know, 90% of the time I do repost it. Or if not, I teach them, hey, you know, next time I would love to put it on my page, but can we do something a little bit different that it's more brand on brand with how I post things?
Back in the day when I was in the restaurant business and, you know, the period of time when I was, you know, front of the house server, right? If that were today, because I, you know, I was fortunate to have built a pretty strong call party clientele, you know, Friday, Saturday night, everybody comes to ask for you, whatever. If that were today and I was a bartender or server, something like that, oh my goodness, I can't imagine, like, and I don't see a lot of that. I see some bartenders who, you know, take advantage a little bit of social media, but I don't see any servers really doing that. And I feel like that is such a huge, like if you're good at what you do and you already have like a nice following of people, if you enhanced that, oh my goodness, you would be the one in town making all the money.
And to validate your point, we're losing the art of serving at a table. And I think if more people out there expose their craft, I think it would motivate younger people to say, oh, I can have a career in this. Because we're definitely losing that. I don't want to lose. It's not something I want to see in our industry that we lose entirely.
Well, that was part of the conversation Ricardo and I were having, which was, you know, where is the service? You go to a restaurant and you're obviously, you know, price points are up everywhere. And costs are up everywhere, and at the end, you know, you three people go out to eat, and it's $250, and that never was, and not unless it was a very elevated, high end place. Now it's like your local pub, you're spending $200 on a check. It's crazy. Where's the service that matches the you know your bill? And it gets dicey. Obviously, I get it. A lot of my friends own restaurants. A lot of my friends are chefs in those restaurants. I see it. I get it. You know, we're all trying to make it happen. But I'll tell you what, the front of the house really took a hit. Really took a hit. The service levels are not what they were, you know, pre, you know, 2019.
Well, it's a combination of different things. Whether we're trying to get the right person to be that server. And it's also the guests that are coming in. They demand a certain, well, you have to earn respect, but you can't demand it.
Right.
That's for sure. But I think the flip side of the things too is that not only did we lose service, but we lost the experience straight up. And that's one of the reasons why I came up with the Farmer's Crable Dinners, because I wanted to get back to the theme behind why we went out. Because most of the time we would go out, it was because it was a, you know, think about it. Back in the day, it was Tropical Steakhouse off of Griffin Road.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Why would you go to that? It was a destination for like a birthday and anniversary.
Yeah.
That was when going out to eat was going out to eat. Then it became because it was life got so hectic every day. Then it became, let's go out to eat. Well, I don't want to cook. Let's go out to eat here. Where are we going to go? We've lost the whole convolutivity of what things are supposed to be in the restaurant industry. And we have to get back to that. And there are chefs that are doing it. Chefs aren't. It's tough because, like, you saw it at the show. How many robots did you see at the show?
Several.
Not just literally fry robots.
Right. Like
picking up the fryer the and dump. That was the burger one.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was when you first walked into the, so there was, just so everyone realized, 760,000 square feet. For Pooch and I to run into Rosanna and her husband, Ricardo, was like by accident. Twice.
No. There is no, it was meant to be.
It was a happy accident.
It was meant to be.
But right across the way from where Citrus America was, there was another robot that was picking up fry baskets and dumping the fryer out. And then there was that one you were talking about that is literally in the front that people were ordering their food,
Jeff,
and doing it.
I just want you to realize that they have the AI co-host to just be, watch your step. I'm just saying, watch your step. Watch your six.
Okay, well, you know what? I got it.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be able to cook.
All right, true story. But I'm going to get that burger Shots flipper.
That's robot. Fine. Get them for me. I don't want to turn to burgers anymore. I got more important things to do than that.
I'm madly in love with you, man. I'm just joking. So I'm on chefrosanna.com, one N, and like your food is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Your food is so beautiful. And so I really can't wait to jump into some of these empanadas and the other stuff.
Meanwhile, John's looking over your shoulder looking to beautiful they are.
He was pointing at the, looks like apple cobbler or something like that, but maybe not, something like that. Looks fantastic. All right, so social media. We got off track for a minute. I want to go back to social media. What effort, if you were going to give advice to a chef, a restaurateur, somebody who there's a lot of stale eateries around town. Stale. And I think you know what I mean. It's just flat. They're not, they're not changing their menus out. They're not updating anything. It's stale. Some of them know it and some of them don't. But if you were going to give advice to some of these establishments and those, those people, how do they take social media, by the collar and make it work for them?
So I think it starts with prioritizing it. And, to your point, what you were saying, that's the first thing people cut out of budgets. Again, something you can do for very little or even for free. So sometimes, we've recommended to our industry peers, if they don't have someone, we're hiring Gen Zs and millennials at our restaurants. They're the prime segment that understands it even better than I do. And I do a lot of social media. Grab one of your servers. It could be a bartender. It could even be a cook. We have a customer and friend in Maryland that their lead cook went viral on TikTok just posting making birria at the restaurant. Take advantage of something like that. And that's the person maybe that they're spearheading for whatever amount of time. And then you put boundaries. We're going to do it on Mondays from this time to this time. And then see where that takes you. Social media is a good place to experiment what works for you. But if you have, whether it's you do a lot of LTOs or you change your menu a lot, those are great things to highlight. Your staples. People forget that if you have an identity, people are going to come to your restaurant because they want to eat that, whatever that is. And those are things that should be highlighted in social media. It could be, how do we make it? Why is this dish special, But I would recommend that designate one person that could take this project on for your restaurant or business and then let them run with it.
What I want to know, and I said this earlier to Evan, I said that John and Evan should do still and video how-tos on your smartphone for food.
100%.
Just basic stuff, just to have the best content that you can in just trying to promote yourself,
They can actually help out other people that want it. Like chefs that don't, back in the day it was like flip your phone upside down. That's the way to take the video. Now it's like, you can do it or not.
Well, here's the thing. I don't even think John has to talk. I think he Silent John is his street
not,
name.
Not everybody has a John with that amazing photography, for sure. He's special.
Yeah, he doesn't talk a lot, but he does great work. So
yes.
But like in today's world, you can set it up to where...
You can do voiceover.
You can even do voiceover.
Not John. Somebody else can do the voice.
Yeah, you can hire me. I'll do your voiceover.
And then don't forget, we also have tools today that did not exist a few years ago. We use AI as well, especially to write our captions. And it's a time saver. Of course, we go back and edit and probably shorten it because sometimes, it spits out a lot. But it's another great way to just get something out the door and post very quickly.
I love AI for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. For when we're publishing, it saves me hours.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go back in and you have to change some stuff around, you have to make it yours, so to speak. But, man, does it save time?
Everyone thought I used AI to finish my book. I was like, no.
Didn't you use AI to do the whole thing?
No.
No. Okay. I'm only kidding.
I did not.
No. Aren't you using AI to cook your meals?
No, those recipes. I'm actually having AI develop the recipes.
You know, because I look up some of the stuff you're cooking, and I'm like,
Dolphin.
Yeah, dolphin, and you know, and then you know, picture you shows up, and there's your recipe. That's right. Weird.
So it's funny. We're talking about content, and I did a behind the scenes, and I wanted to get a little more entrenched in the video, and I've never done it, and I have an 11-year-old. And you just mentioned, you know, get your millennial, get your Gen Z. Well, I don't know what they are, like the alphabet one, or I think whatever generation now they are.
It's the next one. Yeah. It's a letter. Let's put it that way.
It's a whatever.
Generation Martian, dude. I don't know, man.
So I'm like, I go to do something in her room. I come back and she's fiddling with it. And I go, what's wrong? She's like, well, this one kept here and then moved here. And she was like all professional the way she was talking to me. She's like, it didn't make sense to me, but you know, then I redid it and I looked at it. It's fine. So I was like, oh, I got the 11-year-old's approval. So let me go ahead and do it. So that's what we need to do is go to your, cause listen, you said it earlier, Carl, your kid, that's all they're doing is looking at the phone.
Oh my God.
Every second. So they know. And my daughter's like the wicked fast. She'll look at something like boom. I'm like, how did you like that? And not even, it's only like a second.
Yeah, that's what they do all the time. Yeah. And they can filter content very quickly because that's what they're used to doing. So they'll know very quickly, oh, this picture is good. This video is good. And if not, they know how to pass it along.
So that's what you need help with, John. Because John and I were talking earlier about the, you know, he's got beautiful photography that he posts on his IBIS imaging, and that's his go-to IG. And he's like, but I don't get traction. I'm like, yeah, you got to do something different. You got to stand out and like, just give it to an 11-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I do have one last advice, which I think it's appropriate with what we're doing right now, is to hire interns. We have great universities in the area that we're in. And if we have listeners out in the world and or other states, look up your local university. They have great marketing programs, and these are kids that need experience and that want to experiment and that you don't have to pay them a lot. So we do have an intern from USF, from one of the marketing programs there, and it's huge help. We collaborate. I see the content. I approve it. Change. Let's use AI for this or not. And then they make the postings. Ask me how long it takes her to make a reel versus how long it takes me to make a reel. That's a good conversation.
I can totally appreciate that.
I'm not even going to tell you what it took me to film and edit, because Evan's already edited the 2-minute film that we did on Metro.
I know. He's in there. He works fast.
He's already there. I'm watching him. He's probably doing yours.
I'm saying he's probably onto some other project from some other whatever. But yeah. So the reality is I wake up super early. I get up around 3:30 in the morning. Yeah. And that's when I do my social media stuff. So 3:30, 4:30, 5 o'clock. I'm doing it for like an hour and a half a day, 2 hours a day, every day. Just to stay relevant out there with content.
Do you know that now that your phone just heard that, you're going to get all these ads now directed towards you for like later? And
yes.
Hootsuite.
Yes. Yeah, no, I get it.
make it easier on yourself.
It's still not going to get dwarfed by the amount of cheeseburger ads that get, you know, put on there. That's what it is. That's how I get down. Rosanna, what's next for you? What are you guys cooking up? What's
so much. I know. I think I tell Ricardo, I think we're serial entrepreneurs. Our minds never stop, but I think that's the DNA of all chefs that we know, and us as chefs. It's our brain ones. Doesn't stop.
The good ones.
We're always pushing. We want to do something more. We want to do more. We want to be better. So we have a lot of things in the works. I can tell you that, you know, since pandemic, we've been looking to going back to having a brick and mortar. You know, our location is a ghost kitchen, and it's going to stay there. That's our backbone. But what we're looking to do is going back to having a small format and you know, a beautiful space that people can come in and buy pastries or a savory item. On my end with luxury catering, you know, I'm in a very happy place. I'm always either traveling to cook for a client or, you know, doing a lot of fun things in our Tampa Bay region, which I truly enjoy. And every event is different. So I think that appeals to that brain that is always looking for constant change.
Or making paella at Savor St. Pete.
Oh, yeah. I can go.
That's how we met.
Yeah. Paella.
Literally, that's how we met.
You, so you're obviously you're doing the catering thing and you're doing these events. What I think we should do is put on a, do a walk and talk collab. And we do a Latin, because we it would be great to do a Latin themed one.
I know a little bit about Latin food.
You don't know anything.
Smidge.
You don't know nothing. She, this is, I'm, forget you. You're out. She's in. Right? No, but we do that. We do a, you know, a Chef Rosanna, you know, walk and talk media collaboration where, you know, we'll do what, five courses. We'll knock off one, maybe two. Right?
You got we can do six.
Huh?
We can do six. Up to six. I don't want to do more than six.
Right. But anyway, what we do is we, you know, we bring a lot of our industry friends and, you know, other people who are in our kind of genre, right? And we have a blast. And then we bring the crew, we film everything, and we pump it out and have a great time. A lot of sponsors get involved in that, you know, brands and companies and whatnot looking to get involved in it. We should do one together.
I agree. Let's do it. I'm game. And let's start planning.
We already said that back in St. Pete.
I know. Yes, we did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then Ricardo has to make dessert. That's the only caveat.
That's why
because
six.
I don't do desserts.
Okay. Hey, look, we're down. I'm down for all of that.
Here's John probably wants flan, though.
But here's what I need.
oh, his eyes open.
By the way, I saw somewhere somebody did a smoked flan, and it looked amazing.
Like I'll do
stupid.
It.
Stupid.
I would try that.
I would. Heartbeat. I want that in my life.
That's one of the dishes that we were doing at the NRA show with Alto Sham was flan.
But
not smoked though, right?
No.
Yeah, you couldn't have open fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So Rationale was talking about how they wanted to smoke the meat prior because they have a smoking box they put in the Rationales. And they specifically said you cannot have open flame in the McCormick Center. So
I'm
that makes
very,
sense.
Very, very fortunate. My wife is Cuban and my mother-in-law is always making a flan. And oh my God, I'm so spoiled with that. Yeah, that's so good.
Wow.
Okay, it looks
you
like
just
you're,
missed that.
Yeah, you're gonna have to bring.
What?
He wants flan.
Okay, I'll get you flan.
You won't be allowed in this studio next time.
Wow. Here's what I need to happen. Hold on. I have to. Amy Gee, I know you're listening. What I need you to do, Amy, can you text me and remind me of this? Because we're all going to forget everything I just
really?
Said.
You're going to use the listeners for that?
Yes.
You have a smartphone.
It's not smart at all.
No, it's really you're not smart. Use it.
I need.
It's extremely smart.
My 8-year-old is almost ready, and I'll be putting her to work soon. But until that happens, I'm kind of
God. I can't wait till she's ready to work because then you and I are not his. His person.
Oh man, no, I'm gonna. She wants. She wants to work. She said, "Daddy, can I come?" I'm like, "No, not yet. Not yet. Too soon.
You would have to be on your best behavior.
I know. I don't want to do that. It's gonna ruin my. It should ruin my whole reputation.
Every Thursday is gonna like be horrible now.
Yeah.
I gotta have my kid with me. I gotta behave myself.
How these production day for us? It's a drizzle of 11th grade. Okay, so we try to have fun. It's
I thought it was more like 12-year-old, not 12th grade or 11th grade. I thought it was like 11-year-old
for you. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For me, I'm a little bit
A little more. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. So Instagram, what's your handle?
At Chef Rosanna Rivera.
Okay. John, what's your handle? No. Say it in the mic. Use the mic. I got it for you. What do you?
Ibis Images.
That's his voice, folks.
Wow.
That is.
You actually got him to actually speak.
I'm going to stop putting the mic there.
God, that's your word.
I should have given that to Ricardo and had him to go sit in the other room.
Oh, look. God. He said, just go ahead.
Yeah.
That was it. You just
dirty.
Go ahead.
You dirty. All right, Chef, we sincerely appreciate you and hubby coming with us today, showing up here. We're now going to go and eat. You are going to cook. We are going to eat. We're going to get some footage of that. Stay tuned for the BTS because it's going to be badass. Chef, thank you for coming. Jeffrey. John, I'll get you some flan. Don't worry, baby. We got you. All right. We are Metro, baby. You got to get that Metro. And by the way, Chef Rosanna brought a bunch of Metro. Like, she's got a Metro box and everything. I love it.
Yeah, it was really nice to see that.
I'm the biggest non-paid Metro fan.
I love it. Oh, my God. We're Metro unite. All right. We are out. We'll be right back.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.